I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly series, Dispatches, where we check in with correspondents across the globe. Coming up, we're going to check in on several stories developing in West Africa. But first, Peru is recovering from a devastating earthquake that killed hundreds of people. In the hardest-hit towns of Pisco and Ica on the Peruvian coastline, family members are still trying to recover their dead. Thousands remain homeless. Freelance journalist Guillermo Galdós arrived in Pisco the day after the disaster and covered the aftermath. He joins us now on the phone from his office in Lima. Welcome, Guillermo.
Thank you to you.
You must be exhausted.
Yes, I am indeed. It's been a few hard days and, you know, with no basic services. I wonder how it's for all those people who lost their homes.
Now, you just left Pisco. What is the latest understanding of how many people lost their lives there?
Well, the latest death toll is 540 bodies have been recovered. There are more than 1,000 people wounded and more than 187,000 people affected by the earthquake. Of course, the aid has started to arrive a few days ago. We have a lot of planes that have been sent with aid from all over the world. The problem is that the people that really need it, they are not getting enough of it, and there are some areas where they are not getting any at all. And, you know, the government has started to react. I think they reacted late. But, you know, they've concentrated in the big cities affected by the earthquake, which were basically Pisco, Chincha, and Ica. But towards the east of these cities, there are a number of communities in the mountains where, you know, all the houses have dropped down to the floor.
Is there any heavy equipment coming in to help start clearing these areas? And is there any hope of finding survivors at this point?
Actually, the government has been criticized by how fast they are cleaning the area, because rescue teams, they say that they need time to find bodies. So, you know, the government has put a lot of heavy machinery in the area, and they are demolishing most houses. That's why the death toll has gone up 40 dead people since yesterday, because they are just putting the big machinery in, and they are realizing, of course, that there is dead people under the rubble. But again, the rescue workers, they have a hope that they might be able to find somebody alive.
Is the criticism that the removal efforts are killing more people?
I don't think that they're killing more people. I don't think that's obviously the intention. But I do think that rescue workers need time to do their job. And it's not just a matter of putting heavy machinery in the area and cleaning up everything. Obviously, there is a concern on behalf of the government, you know, that there are bodies lying down there, that disease might spread. So they want to clear this as soon as possible.
I was going to say, I think that there would be a concern about the spread of disease and contaminating water sources because of remains under the rubble.
Well, we can see at the moment, you know, there are some signs of illnesses, you know, like colds and bronchial and intestinal infections and eye infections. And, of course, the lack of water hasn't made things easier. And also doctors are claiming for water. They say that that's something that they really need in the area. The water pipes are broken in the main cities, and they just reestablished electricity on some parts of the city, on the city center.
Do you have a sense of where the aid is coming from, what is coming in, and what is still needed?
Well, it's coming from all over the world, really. Obviously, the Andean countries have helped quite a lot. Venezuela, the United States, Europe, Italy, I read today, that has also sent some aid. It's from all over the world, and basically what they're sending is food, systems to purify water, blankets, and medical stuff as well. But I think what people really need now is water, and they also need to clear the roads for the aid to arrive faster.
What is the government doing about sheltering all of these people who have been displaced by the earthquake?
Well, there is a number of places and tents that have been set up. But remember that, you know, the people that lost their homes, they're sitting in front of their homes because they don't want to lose the whatever little is left there. So they've pulled out of the rubble as much as they could, mattresses, blankets, towels, maybe a bit of furniture. And they're sitting in front of their homes, basically waiting for the aid. The other problem why people don't want to leave is that many of these people, they don't have a title for the land. So now that their house is gone, they fear that they will also lose the land. So it is complicated, and you know, if you were in their shoes, you would probably stay there, because where are they going to go? Their lives are clearly down there.
Do you have any sense of how many people are displaced as a result of the earthquake? I know you said there were about 180,000 people were affected by it. Is that the number of people who are now considered to be homeless in all these areas that you identified?
I would think that there is thousands. It's very difficult, and actually the government is in the process of measuring really how many people have been affected. And yesterday in the newspapers, they had an expert on earthquakes, and he was saying that the whole city of Pisco should be relocated because it's built under sand, and the sand moves when it shakes. But there's still a long way in front to provide what these guys need, and also to reconstruct the city, because most of the city is down.
It's interesting. It's reminiscent of some of the conversation that we've been having in this country about the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, you know, the anniversary of which is coming up. Overall, what is the view of the government's response to this situation?
I think that there's been mixed reactions. There are people that have criticized the government and international bodies because there has been a lack of organization in distributing the aid that was arriving into the country. My personal impression is that more could have been done. At the moment, I think that there are a lot of people that are waiting for some sort of aid. It's been a week since the earthquake, and there is a lot of people who haven't had a drink of water or bite of food for many days.
Now, Peru has certainly faced political turmoil in the recent past that people might be familiar with, but is there a sense of how this fits into Peru's history as a natural disaster? How big of a challenge is recovering from this going to
be?
Well,
this is a big challenge. The thing is, the country at the moment has money because we've been doing quite well with our mineral resources, and the economy has been growing steadily for a number of years. But I think this is going to slow down things, and I think it will be years before the area recovers completely.
Guillermo Galdós is a freelance journalist. He joined us on the phone from his office in Lima. Guillermo, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you to you.